I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Today, I welcome to the show Kyle Reed. I found Kyle on the interwebs when I noticed he had a lot of productivity tools and ways to keep creatives creating and not wasting their bandwidth on things that take up too much time. Productivity is a big deal when you work at home or when you're working on creative projects that might pull you into a bunch of different directions. So I think you'll really enjoy this podcast today. And Kyle has set up a page just for us listeners on Spark My Muse to download all kinds of resources he has available.
Hi, my name is Kyle Reed, and I am a digital marketer, blogger, and all-around resource guy. I have spent some time in digital marketing over the last 10 years and live in Nashville, Tennessee with my wife, and just find myself working a lot with like-minded people, trying to help resource them with ideas, thoughts, and monetarily. And so I'm happy to be here. Lisa, thank you so much for including me in this, and look forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Kyle. I was interested in having you on the show because I noticed that a lot of the things that you feature, whether it's tools or apps or products you can find online or some of your own resources, they're really helpful for kind of clearing the bandwidth that creatives have sometimes. They have so much on their plate that they actually don't have some of that mental resources to create how they want to. And I was hoping that some of the things that you've run into recently that you could share that might be helpful to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, this has been a topic of conversation I've been noticing a lot from me. And it's not just the last couple of months. I think it's been, gosh, like I said, the last 10 years of just doing this, is this idea of productivity. I have this thought, and I think you would agree and your audience would agree, that we have infinite ideas. Ideas are plenty. It's the execution side that we struggle with. And I even the other day wrote down, ideas2execute.com or like trying to like find a domain around that, you know, just because I think that all of us come to the table with ideas. It's that productivity. It's that execution. It's that discipline that we often struggle. And that is, that's something that I wrestle with daily. And I think that's a lot of the reason why I find myself writing about that is, is how do I wake up every morning and in a lot of ways defeat myself because I've found that that is my biggest barrier to getting anything done. I was actually having a conversation with a friend yesterday, and he's a songwriter, and we were just talking about some things, and he was telling me he was proud of himself just because he got up that day and took the trash out. And I know that sounds terrible, like, yeah, no kidding, like, we all do that. But sometimes in the creative side of what we do, it's the most tangible things we do are often the most rewarding. And it's because we spend so much time in the intangible of our work. Creativity, whatever you are, you're a creative, it is a hard place to stay motivated and to stay consistent on. And so I think for me, I just resonate with that so much, and I try to share my own inner struggles and try to share my own resources around that, because I'm literally creating stuff just to help me stay on task, stay focused, and take a tenth of my ideas and get some of them done.
Yeah. And I noticed I've watched some of your YouTube videos as well, or some of the things you have embedded on your website. And a lot of it is you get started early in the morning and then you really plan your day. Maybe you can go into how do you plan your day?
Sure. That's great. I really see the morning routine as one of the more important things we do. I'm very disciplined. I try to be very disciplined about it because I feel like my morning sets up how my day will be. And so my morning is very strict. I wake up without fail, usually at 6 a.m. every day. And then I have a very strict routine I go through. I go for a run. I drink a glass of water. I take a shower. And then I try to do some kind of task around my house that kind of gets me started for my day. So usually like that's maybe like putting the dishes away or picking up the living room, whatever that may be. And then I try to, like you alluded to there, was I try to plan my day out. And I find that those 15 to 30 minutes that I spend literally writing down everything I'm going to do today is my lifesaver. I'm sure some, you know, some of the people in your audience will resonate with this as list people. We love to write things down and we love to check things off. I'm so bad that sometimes I'll do something and didn't write it down and I will write it down and then scratch it off, you know, just because of that sense of satisfaction. And so what I found though is that if I can just set aside 15 to 30 minutes every morning and say, this is what I'm going to get done today. That's how I know I'm going to have a productive day. And then I've even taken that a step further now, and I've been trying this probably the last 6 months, is I'm actually now timing out everything I do. So I'll write down, you know, work on X project. I'm going to give myself 30 minutes on that. And then I have a tool on my computer that literally I start the timer. When the timer buzzes, I stop working. I take a 5-minute break and do kind of whatever I want, and then I go on to my next task. I found, going back to what we were talking about earlier of just staying productive, is that writing down your task, timing it out, and then holding true to what you say is how I get things done. Because there's so many things in my head and there's so many things I want to do, I can get really caught up in being distracted. And so that my morning routine is what kind of keeps me going and mm-hmm. keeps me focused and keeps me kind of on par to getting things done instead of, you know, starting my day and next thing I know it's 3 p.m. and I haven't done anything today. So yeah. My morning is super important to me. I highly encourage anyone I talk to write out your task, to take time to write out your task, and then to add in that extra little, like, kind of hack of timing out your task and just see what it can do for you.
That's good. Now, I'm getting the sense that you work at home. Am I right?
I do, yeah. Yeah, so kind of I've worked in all different environments. I worked mm-hmm. at a church. I used to work for a record label, so it was a little bit more mm-hmm. corporate. But worked at a record label and just recently transitioned to working from home.
Mm-hmm. That really presents its own challenges. Most of my life, I've been a graphic designer, freelance writer, and a lot of it has been at home. And it started out there. I started out in advertising agencies and things like that, and going off site. But when I had my kids, I decided to pull back into a home office. But, oh my gosh, that presents so many extra challenges, which you know how it is. It's hard to have the boundary of work and home. It's hard to not become a workaholic or just, you know, stay in your pajamas all day because you're rushing to get something done instead of just treating yourself like a human being and, okay, I need my shower, I need to get dressed, I need my coffee. And you can just race into something that needs to be done. And I think for a lot of people who listen to this that are writers and creating at home, it could be really a struggle. And so how do you make it work?
Yeah, you hit it on the head. I think for creatives, we have this, it's such a struggle, right? Like the job's never done. And so we could start working at 6 a.m. and work till midnight and still feel like there's more to do. And so kind of the way that I, and you'll probably notice as I'm talking here, kind of a theme for me is I'm just trying to kind of trick myself into success, I guess you could say, or accomplishment. And mm-hmm. so one of the ways that I really try to do that is to stay on task to what I'm doing by treating it like an office job. So like I have an office, it's a separate room in my house. I literally, when I go in there, it's like I'm going into work. You get ready for your day like you would be going into an office job. And so I really try to set that apart as not just another place in my house, because it can become so much so that you just got to get more done. There's more to do. There's more that you could be working on. And you kind of fall into like our society's mindset right now where it's like, always on. I'm always working. I'm always mm-hmm. hustling. There's always more that I can be doing to advance my platform or someone mm-hmm. else's platform. And so what I try to do is really distinguish that, is try to say I'm working right now and this is my work time. And so, you know, I have a main client that I directly work with, and it's a 9-to-5 job basically. And so I really try to set aside my time to that. Like I try to stay as disciplined I can to them inside of that. Interesting enough, I think that everyone's different. I have a friend of mine who he says that he feels most productive and powerful when he's in his pajamas. And I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, it's just a feeling I have that if I'm in my pajamas, it's like no one's my boss. Like I make my own schedule. And so he tells, you know what he does? He'll go to a coffee shop to work in his pajamas. And I know that's a little extreme, and I don't think you should do that. But it's so funny, like the contrast. Like for him, it's he feels most productive in his pajamas because it signifies something in his brain that I'm the ruler over my domain. Whereas I'm the complete opposite. I try to get ready like I'm going somewhere and really focus in on what I'm doing and what needs to be done. So I think, you know, for anyone, it's really just figuring out what makes you the most productive in the best place possible and helps you just get things done. Because that's all we're focused on, is just accomplishing things.
Right, yeah. And when you go into work, into your office, then is that kind of space that you feel like you can shut the door on when you're done?
Yeah, yes, it is. I'm not the best at it, you know, because I go back to that challenge that we just talked about, like the work's never done. But what I have found is that because I'm at home and I have a little bit more freedom to get my work done, I'm not getting interrupted with distractions. When I quote unquote shut the door or shut the laptop lid, I'm done. And then sometimes I'll even like take an hour break. And then if I want to work on a separate project from my work, I'll go back in. But it's almost like I'm entering into a different space. And that sounds a little weird to say that out loud, but I almost make this mental shift as like, hey, my 9-to-5's done. I'm now working on my own resources or my own thing. I've really tried to set my office up as a place of like I would a regular office in an office building. You know, I've got a desk. I made myself a little coffee bar. Like I've just tried to do certain things to limit the distractions of not having what I need right there, but to like kind of stay in that room and really, you know, really stay focused.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting what you're saying about you're creating the space. You're a professional, you know, so it's like taking yourself seriously, and people who work at home sometimes will, if they're writers or something, they won't in a way respect themselves enough to create a space where they can work easily and have everything they need to get the job done in the sense. So kind of what I'm thinking is I remember this moment when it happened, when someone said to me, what do you do? And I said, I'm a graphic designer and I have a home office, instead of saying I work from home, because I remember that the reaction would usually be different. Oh, okay.
I'm sure you work from home. Yeah,
sure you do. Like after you watch Ellen on TV and you, you know, do a little vacuuming, but I have been working, you know, 6 to 10 hour days for years on the things that I'm involved with from home. And that's normal for me. And I do sometimes enjoy going out and, you know, interacting with other people. I'm an extrovert. But it was just interesting that I had to kind of respect myself first before that was going to happen, where maybe I wasn't taking myself seriously, but then I couldn't expect anybody else to either.
Yeah, it's almost like we have this mindset that, like, only important work happens in a work environment. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're not really professionals if we have the opportunity to work from home. And I think even society might push that down. What I found, though, is that, you know, when I worked in a corporate environment, I would say there would be days where I would only get 2 hours of work done. And the reason being was because I would come into the office, someone would come talk to me, then I'd have to go to a meeting, and then someone else would pop in, and then I'd start working on something, and someone would send me an email. And it got to this point where, like, I would get spurts of like 20 minutes of work. And so what I've actually found is working at home alone, I've got more work done because I'm not, those interruptions are not, they're not buying for my time. And I think that can be, like you said, there's like this stigma that working from home is not real work. When in reality, I would almost flip it on its head and say, sometimes working in an office can be just as distracting as, you know, having a TV and everything else in your house to kind of call for your attention. But I think I think the common thing is that, you know, we see is regardless of what we're doing, it's just hard work. So no matter where we're at or you know, what environment we have, or if we're in an office or if we're at home or if we're in a co-working space or a coffee shop, no matter what it is, it's hard work. And for some reason, our brain likes to play tricks on us and try to get us not to do the work. And so I think, you know, like you said, that mental shift for you of saying, I'm a graphic designer and I have a home office, that was the mental shift you needed to say, no, that's where I get my stuff done, you know? And for my buddy, it's staying in his pajamas. And for me, it's, you know, it's establishing my morning schedule and sticking to it and staying focused on that. I think ultimately we just love to find excuses not to do work.
I was, you know, you bring up a point that I'm curious to what your answer would be, because I've, you know, noticed a lot of the tech startups and things out of San Francisco, they're, you know, completely cutting edge. They're, you know, they've done these, maybe some of them have done Kickstarter or something. But as I've looked in these, you know, career openings and things like that, there are all, you know, come to San Francisco, and it's the same old, you know, from 100 years ago mentality that you have to be in the same workspace. And sometimes you do have to be in the same workspace, but like I look at WordPress, the WordPress operates from, they have no headquarters, they meet up in places and stuff like that. And I'm wondering why people haven't caught up to the idea. Even the most technologically advanced companies seem to be still operating out of a model of, you know, commute to work for whatever hour, or and then, you know, have a bunch of meetings, and, you know, maybe they'll get some work done as well. But it just, it's mind-boggling to me that that old system is still in play in so many areas.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, when I was getting ready to take the job at the record label I worked at, one of my questions I asked in the process was, hey, is this like a work, like, do I have to go to an office or can I work from anywhere? And it was almost like I had, you know, was asking them this question with four heads or something. Like the way they looked at me was just like, why would you ever work somewhere else? You know, you need to be in the office. And I think some of it, you know, I don't know necessarily if this would be true for the tech startups and or the flip side, like a WordPress or a Basecamp, kind of how they all operate across the world. I think some of it just comes down to the accountability side. I think that companies kind of get caught up, like, if we can't monitor you, if we don't see you, I can't trust that you're getting your work done. Mm-hmm. And so there's this mindset of like, you know, can you produce without being in our office? I think there's some trust issues there. But then also I see the other side as far as like maybe it's a tech startup, where they're kind of saying there's this sense of creative spirit when you're around each other. There's an energy that you get. You know, there's this establishment of working head down, working on a project. And so, you know, now being someone who's working remotely with a team, you know, I see both sides very clearly. But it is interesting that companies are still very beholden to, gotta have an office building, you got to punch the clock from 9 to 5, and they're not really asking the questions of what are you getting done between 9 to 5, right? Because most of us take our jobs home with us. We have our email on our phone and we have a laptop, and you know, we're checking email first thing when we wake up, last thing before we go to bed. Like the job doesn't stop for most of us. And so it is interesting. It's almost like technology has far exceeded the workplace, but the workplace hasn't really caught up with the ability of technology. You know, and I think it goes to the point too is of paying attention to creative spaces and helping people work in environments that are not cubicles, but working environments that spur creativity on. And so what does that look like for someone?
Yeah, there is something to be said of a company culture and making sure that you are aligned with the values and you're jiving with your teammates that you're working with and all that. But I still kind of can't help but wonder why there can't be sort of like, why isn't set up where, okay, one day is just going to be, you know, or half a day is just going to be meetings, and then there'll be 2 days of work with minimal interruptions. Then you can go home and do the rest of your work there. But I'm sure everybody will figure it out. I know it seems like we're moving toward a time where there's a lot of people who are contractors in that sort of in that sort of way. There, and maybe that's going to take off even more as people are able to sort of market what they do in a specific way and sort of contract with companies instead of just being part of the big team.
No, you're exactly right. And I think you're touching on the future. I think moving to more of a place of contract work for a lot of people is becoming the new norm. And as soon as we can figure out, health insurance for people, right. And make it affordable for people who, don't work for corporate environments, the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for some of the people who are interested in some of the productivity tools that you have been interested in, or some of the resources that you've actually created, why don't you talk a little bit about some of that?
Sure. Yeah. So I've got a couple things that I've created. One was, so I've talked about this, the record label I've worked at. My first day on the job, I walked in and basically inherited about, between the six artists I work with, 6 million Facebook fans. And so you can imagine, oh boy, there's something I've got to do here. So, I kind of walked into this job and I kind of just said, the only way that I'm going to accomplish anything of value is going back to writing it down and creating a list. And so I created this thing that I call the task sheet. And it's just it's what I use every morning. It walks through my daily, needs. And I just made it for myself and I used it for almost a year and refined it. And just over the last probably 6 to 7 months, I've shared that online for people just as a free download to use. So it's a task sheet download. It kind of has a couple features to it. One is it asks the question, what's my goal for today? So, really defining out if I, in my day and I accomplish this goal, I will feel successful. So it has that. You kind of start with that. And then from there, it has, instead of saying task, I kind of have what I call focuses. And so I've got two things for the morning and two things for the afternoon. So those are my two big focuses for the morning. And then I have my two big focuses for the afternoon. And then I have right under that just some more general pay the cable bill or whatever. So I created that. It's really helped me a ton. I've had it for a year and a half now, and it's been really helpful. So that's a resource I've got. I've got another resource that I call Hack Monday, and it's basically a way that I try to hack my week. So it kind of correlates to the task sheet. It's more of an overarching hey, this is my big week, this is my big big month, and then this is my big year. And so I kind of have everything lined out as far as this is what I want to get done for the week, for the month, for the year. That's another sheet I've created. And then I've created a social media calendar as well. So this is more for people who are I don't really know, I have stuff to post, but I don't know when to post it. I don't know what days to post it. Mm-hmm. And so I just created a worksheet of kind of theming out your week and helping you kind of think through creatively on social media, how do I share content? So I like to kind of hack that process of kind of say, okay, on Monday, I'm going to share this kind of update, Tuesday, this update, and so forth, and just replicate that across the month. So those are just, a couple things. I have a marketing template download that you can download as well that walks you through how do you write a marketing plan. But more in the app productivity side of things is those task sheet downloads and different things like that.
Yeah, and it really does, you realize this later, but taking the time to organize first saves so much time later.
Yeah, it's incredible. It feels like a labor, to do it, but you don't realize how beneficial it is until you actually start to make it a habit.
And I'm also thinking that those sheets are great if you need to outsource some of that stuff too, because sometimes you need all your mental capacity to continue to create whatever it is, if it's a chapter you're writing or something. And then you could actually probably just hand that off to someone to take care of.
Such
for
a good
you.
Point. Yeah. You know what? I've never even thought about that, but that's such a good idea. You're exactly right. That's such a good idea. Just doing your task sheet and then handing it to someone, because it has enough room to write that information. That's a great idea that I will steal from you.
There you go. All right. Yeah. But I think that's one of the things I've noticed. There were some things that I've been working on, and I thought, this is something that I want to do a poster for Pinterest. Well, I can do a poster for Pinterest, no problem. I have a design background and everything. But honestly, I thought, I might need to send this out, because as sure I can do it, and it'll take me about 3 hours to do a month's worth of, mm-hmm. of posters. But I could use that 3 hours for recording podcasts, maybe.
Yeah,
and maybe
yeah.
I want to do that instead. And I was thinking, which things do I want to outsource? And it seems like some of the stuff that isn't purely creative is something that you can hand off. And even if it's bartering with a friend, too, you can,
sure.
you know, say, how about you handle this for me, and I'll handle this for you. And that way it's all batched together. And so there are ways to kind of good hacks, like especially for people who are solo at home, that they can kind of get an edge that they wouldn't have, so they don't have to do it all themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, we can spend, like, I'm terrible with numbers, and so I can spend all day trying to, you know, work on our budget or like pay bills and stuff, mm-hmm. but I am terrible at it, and so I just let my wife do it. You know, like that's like that's passing off the things that you're not good at, you know. But that's, you're exactly right. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in trying to think that we've got to do everything. And maybe it comes from a hero complex, or maybe it comes from just like, I don't want to spend money. But sometimes the best mm-hmm. things that I've done is when I've hired someone to take off that pressure for me of getting it done, because what may take me 4 hours to do, someone can do in an hour, and mm-hmm. I have more freedom to create.
Yeah. And I think too, like, let's say you're going to pay someone $15 to line up all your, you know, social media posts for the week or something. And it's not just that $15 or $20 to do that. It's actually all of the thought process it's going to take to plow through it all, too.
Absolutely.
You know, so there's a lot of, like, mental RAM that's getting expended as you're pulled in, you know, 100 different directions to just accomplish, you know, that one thing you're trying to do. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know, you're exactly right. And I think I've noticed this trait amongst entrepreneurs. They have this ability to take calculated risk and or investments in things, knowing that they're going to get a return on their investment.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the ability to say, if I spend X amount of money or time in this place, my investment will be 2 times, 3 times greater. So it's exactly mm-hmm. what you say. It's they say, you know what, I'm just going to pay someone to do that, because the amount of mental energy and time I'll spend to try to get that done is not beneficial. But I do know that if I take that mental time and energy to work on something else, I'm actually going to be more profitable. So that, let's say $15 investment to have someone line up social media might have just made you $50 because you spent your time working on something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you find is the greatest challenge for you as you're working and trying to get your work done? Is it a productivity thing, or what do you struggle with the most?
Oh, where to begin? I think one of my biggest, and I think a lot of people begin here, is fear. So I am an idea guy. I have tons of ideas. And I have no problem starting things. Where I'm really bad is finishing. And so what I found is fear creeps in right about the middle part of what I'm doing. And it kind of speaks little like, you can't do this. You're not going to get this done. No one's going to pay attention if you finish this, so you're wasting your time. And so I think that for me, you know, things that I really struggle with and wrestle with is twofold. Is one is that fear side. It's that completing things. But then the other side, too, is because I'm such an idea guy, I get so caught up in every idea that mm-hmm. I get distracted. And so I have this, you know, this problem where I just consume everything around me. And I just get so wrapped up in all these different things, and I cannot stay on task with what I'm doing. And so what happens is like I said earlier, it's like I start my morning out, and I look up, and I'm like, how is it 10 a.m. already? I just started working. Mm-hmm. And or it's like, how's my day gone without me really getting anything done? Well, it's because I've read every blog post on the internet that mm-hmm. day and have written a half, you know, halfway marketing plan for something, this crazy idea that I have, and then I'm responding to an email. And so I think the thing is it goes back to that fear side for me. I have to really legitimately tell myself out loud, it sounds a little weird to say this, but out loud, what I'm going to do today is going to be hard, and it's not going to be easy, but I'm the only one who can do it, and if I don't do it, it won't get done. So I've got to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the work that we do, we have this belief that we want it to be easy. You know, like, you know what it's like when you're designing something. There are things that come very natural to you because you've practiced and you've worked and you have skill. But there are also projects that you've completed that you're very proud of, but they took guts and they took effort and they took time and it was painful probably at some points. And I think that's the lie that I often buy into as far as my work and productivity is that, hey, if I just write this down and start working on it, it's going to be easy and I'm going to get it done. And so, you know, I often have to start my day with just trying to say to myself, what I'm doing today is not easy. It's not going to be easy and I'm going to want to quit, but I can't. I have to finish.
Yeah. And there's always going to be a part that's fun. And then there's going to be the part that really stinks and that you have to push through that part, you know, to get it done, which is why the productivity, the tools and the planners can be really helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing. I wish I didn't have to go to all the extremes that I go to sometimes to try to stay productive. I wish I didn't have to write things down. I wish I had a great memory. Like, there's so many things, but if I am undisciplined in those things, I miss out. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm undisciplined in writing things down and paying attention and listening well and taking good notes and writing my task out, I just won't get it done. So I've had to identify those areas of weakness and really try to come up with solutions.
What's helped you the most as far as promoting your own projects and your own website? I know you do a lot of marketing stuff. And so what has helped you the most in that sphere?
Yeah, I would say relationships, mm-hmm. Just being around people who are doing it. There is such a freedom in just being around people who have done it before you. That's probably been the best thing. I'm very blessed. I have a really good community here in Nashville, a community of doers who are going out and doing things and creating things, and I get to watch it. And so I'd say for me, that's probably the best thing that keeps me motivated and kind of, like, you know, keeps me going. And then I would just say, I think too, is just I try to take into, like, what am I experiencing, and then have this belief of, like, this is probably what someone else is experiencing. Mm. And so I should probably share this. And that's been really good for me as well. And then probably lastly is just meeting needs. I mean, you know, just like seeing a need instead of just saying someone should do that. Like, I just go and do it, you know?
Right.
A while back, I was passionate about mentoring and wanting to help people find mentors and things like that. And I just started up this simple, hey, if you're a 20-something blogger, put your blog right here on this on my website, and we'll link out to each other. And next thing I know, you know, a couple days later, 500 people have
wow.
signed up and said, hey, I'm a 20-something blogger. This is what I write about. Come check out my site. And it was like, you know, it's just this moment where I just kind of saw, like, here,
yeah.
you know, here I am, like, saying I want to talk to 20-somethings and I want to, you know, impact and do those kind of things, and yet all it took was me just to do it.
Yeah, and it was such a community instantly, too. Now, and also, you know, the thing about generosity is what you're touching on, too. It's kind of like, instead of thinking, how can I get things to go my way, is thinking, how can I help somebody? What do I wish that I had that I might be able to somehow offer someone else?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is, like, there's this mindset of, like, man, if I can just get a break, or if I can get someone to come alongside of me and, you know, help me or whatever it may be. And oftentimes I think if we just go out and do it ourselves and create for ourselves, we can kind of create that for other people and find a community. And next thing you know, you're leading something out that, you know, you didn't necessarily intend to start, but yet you've led the way.
So I'm wondering, once you're not 20-something anymore,
yeah.
you're not going to be 20-something forever, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Then what are your, how do you see the next, I don't know how old you are, but how do you see the next decade or so playing out?
Sure. Well, I'm 29, so I'm about
to. Oh, you're really cutting it close.
I know. It's scary. yeah, it's a great question. I think it moves more for me into a place of just my kind of my theme of resourcing people. And so really trying to move in a way of meeting needs, and so helping people with things. And I think that spans the gap of age, you know, 20, 30, 40, whatever, however old you are, that has some sort of appeal. But also I think too, still sticking my foot in the 20-something pond of trying to share my experiences and just help people. And so really continuing to stay connected to that world of the millennial, you know, workforce, the millennial mindset, and really, you know, in so many ways, try to be what I didn't have, you know. And so I was so desperate when I was younger for community and for someone to kind of come alongside of me and say, hey, you know, you have something here, let me help you. And so instead of just kind of, you know, longing for that, now helping other people create that. And so, you know, definitely getting older, but also trying to keep my foot still in that crowd.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, what you mentioned. It's actually not restricted to millennials, because when you're in your early 20s, you're trying out adulthood for the first time. You're having your first career or your first jobs, and you're trying to figure out, you know, what to do with your life. And I think that a lot of people crave someone who's, you know, advice from someone who's been there before. What pitfalls can I avoid? And the need for mentoring and for just a guide along the path is going to be there in 50 years and 100 years, because we have more information that we can access in 1 second than we ever have had. But to sort it out and to actually glean the best stuff to use, that's the hard part. Isn't finding, you know, out how to do something. It's now which voice should I listen to the most, or what's going to be the most helpful thing?
Yeah, it's you know, we can get into this whole information, you know, paralyzation. You know, we can get paralyzed by all the options. And you know, I think that you're exactly right. It's looking to the people who are ahead of us who can really, you know, help us to decipher where we're going. I have my blog, it's called Standing on Giants, and it's Isaac Newton quote, where it's, you know, basically if I've seen further, it's by standing on the shoulder of giants. And I really believe that that's a very important place that we hold to, and really, you know, look at how can we stand on the shoulder of the people who've come ahead of us, but also how can we let others stand on our shoulders?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's a great attitude for life, that it's not going to be like history doesn't begin and end with you, you know, that it's definitely there's all kinds of influences that we're borrowing unawares, or that we're gaining from, that we might not realize that we're gaining from. But then always to be learning and thinking of yourself as a person who needs giants to stand on your entire life. You're going to, doesn't matter how old you are, you're going to need to maybe not be mentored exactly, but you certainly will need the people who've gone before you, and trying to find ways to continually learn. I always think of myself as a person who's just insatiably curious and constantly trying to learn. And that's even more true now with, you know, every month or so, there's some new app or amazing thing that could be a tool. Do I want to use it? Do I need to learn it? You know, and trying to sort through all that.
Uh-huh. No, yeah, and I mean, it even is in your title, your podcast, you know. The word spark is such a good, it's just that instant, spontaneous, like, you know, you're instantly sparking something, and you're seeing if it has life to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Kyle, where can people find you if they want to dig in more and find your resources?
Sure. Yeah. So probably the best place to find me is on Twitter, and it's just at Kyle Reed. And then I have a blog that I write on and kind of talk more about this, and it's just thoughtsaboutnothing.com. And then I'll set up a page for you. It's just thoughtsaboutnothing.com/spark. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'll have all my resources listed there, and your listeners can just go and download those for free and grab whatever they need to kind of, you know, help them tackle their productivity. But that's thoughtsaboutnothing.com/spark.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to glean from there. I hope everybody will be able to check that out, because as I was looking through it, I was like, I knew you had a few resources, and then I was looking a little deeper, and I thought, oh, that's good. that's going to be good. I'm going to be getting my printer, new toner in, and we're going to get cooking.
There you go. Yeah. I'm really trying to force myself to create more resources. So I'm trying to take things that I'm that I'm doing and you know, kind of share them like we just talked about, you know, helping others. And so really capturing that. So I'll be constantly updating with more resources for people.
That'd be great. And if I could give you one challenge of a potential resource that might be helpful,
please.
It would be to develop a page, that a worksheet that people can work through to find out which things they need to actually hand off.
Hmm.
Because I wonder if just streamlining things could free up a lot more ability to create and see things through to the end.
Yeah, that's great. I will take that challenge on.
All right.
That's a good idea.
Who knew you would have homework and everything?
Hey, I get back to it. That's the best way to get things done.
Yeah, I think it would. It's something that I've been thinking about more seriously. But again, do I have another couple hours to think about it and get that down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably not. But mm-hmm. probably I need to figure out a resource for that, because as the interviews I'm doing mount up, I'm like, well, this is actually entails a lot more time of mine that isn't just, you know, I can only do it here in this one spot. I can't just go anywhere I want to record right now. So yeah. Then it means other things have to suffer or take a backseat.
Sure. No, you're right. And I think that's the thing, is that, you know, if we can just keep reminding ourselves, it's the same with productivity. If we can keep reminding ourselves that the time we take today to identify those needs will save us time in the long run, you know, and whether it makes us more creative or more profitable can only help.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Kyle. I really appreciate your time. And this was a lot of fun. So I'm excited that all the listeners will have their own special page on your site.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Did you know that every episode of Spark My Muse has show notes? You can find show notes at sparkmymuse.com, and in those show notes, you'll find details about the people, books, and resources that were mentioned in the show. And sometimes you'll find photos and embedded videos, too. I hope you'll stop by and check it out. A live stream discussion of this podcast can be found at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday. To find it, follow me at twitter.com/LisaDelay.